It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. I'm Joe Costello, and if you're listening around the world on the WFO app, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, we want to say a big welcome to you. If you love NHRA Mellow Yellow or Lucas Oil Drag Racing, if you love motorsports, you have clicked on the right link. We've got a great show for you. As the Mellow Yellow Series gets ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals at Royal Purple Raceway, we're going to connect with Robert Height. 10 years ago, he got his very first victory down there, and look what he went on to. Absolute greatness. Runner-up in the last race and is the defending race winner. We're going to speak with Robert Height, who is also the president of John Force Racing, on this show. Talk about his career and what he's doing to get back in the winner's circle here in 2015. Also on the show, he is a six-time champion, five of those in NHRA Mellow Yellow Pro Stock. Jed Coughlin Jr. going to make his 2015 season debut. But he's going to be doing it in Vegas for the K&N Spring Fling Bracket Races. Jed Coughlin going to talk about bracket racing, getting in the cockpit of a race car for the first time, the new family, all of it right here on WFO Radio. So if you're a fan of Jed, you don't want to miss it. Stick around. Heavy bracket racing talk with a six-time champion. Also on the show, speaking of Vegas and going on a hot streak, this guy is a four-time Superstock world champion, but doubled up for the second time last race out, the SummitRacing.com Nationals, then sticks around for the regional, goes out and wins it again in Superstock. Jimmy DeFrank is going to join us on the show, his first ever WFO radio appearance, and I love the first-time interviews. We're going to get inside. What's going on? This guy is on fire out there, winning, winning, and more winning for Jimmy DeFrank. And then concluding the show, he is a two-time funny car champion from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Hall of Famer Frank Hawley. Going to talk about what he's doing at the start of 2015, being in the Hall of Fame. Of course, his thoughts on the Mellow Yellow Series so far and his Dragster Adventure program that allows you to get behind the wheel of a dragster. So we have got a great show for you. Getting ready, packing the bags to head to Houston at the tail end of this week. We start them all off the same way with this man, the voice of the NHRA. He also has a hearse, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back.
All right.
Happy Tuesday.
How's the hearse?
It's good. It's good. It's actually in the muffler shop right now. The tailpipe on it was a little bit rusted, and I've decided, hey, what the heck, take it over to Kenny, my muffler guy, and get that taken care of, and then figure out what I'm going to do next. I still have no idea what I'm going
to
do with it.
That is awesome. Well, it's got to be able to tow the Mustang at some point, I think.
Well, it does have a hitch on it, so, you know, for the whoever it was that wrote the country song, Never Seen a Hearse with a Trailer Hitch, apparently they've never seen mine.
That is great. That is great. And I saw, since we last spoke, since I follow you on Twitter and I went back and looked at some of the photographs, some of our WFO listeners have been retweeting the photographs. It's a good looker. I think you made a good decision.
Yeah, it's an interesting car. It definitely draws attention. You know, I haven't really taken it anyplace. I brought it home on Monday. The Monday after the national race, I took a truck and trailer out of Las Vegas, went and picked it up in Hesperia, California, brought it home, dropped it off, and then I went and picked up a race car in Phoenix on the way back up, which was kind of the trade-off for borrowing the truck and trailer in the first place. But this is the first time I've had an opportunity to actually get it out and mess with it and do anything. Went down and did the title transfer and did all that yesterday, got the personalized plates ordered for it. So it's just a matter now of figuring out really, literally, what I'm going to do with it. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it.
That is a super cool problem to have. And we are very eager to hear how it all goes, and it could go in any way, so please let us know. Now, this past weekend, a little regional action, Lucas Oil Series up there in Vegas. Chris Demke winning Top Alcohol Dragster. Annie Whiteley winning again after a great showing out there in the national event. Jay Payne with a, I only saw the photographs, but with a big crash. How was the event in terms of everything associated?
It was a terrific event. Certainly could have done without Jay Payne knocking the tree over, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, he was okay, and the rest of it we could fix. But it was just terrific competition. It was a fun event, and you know, getting out and getting an opportunity to do those. I don't get to do as many of them as I used to, just because my travel schedule is so crazy. But it's you know, a little more relaxed atmosphere. Everybody's having a good time. The competition is still as intense as ever, but it's just good old fashioned weekend at the races. It was a fun event.
Very cool. Jimmy DeFrank going to be on the show, his first time coming on WFO Radio, and just absolutely on fire behind the wheel. We're going to speak with him, but goes out there, doubles at the national, and then follows up with a win at the regional.
Yeah, he's definitely running fairly well right now, and you know, he has been for a number of years. He's kind of a guy that, you know, when he gets on a roll, kind of look out, because he gets a little bit of momentum going, and, you know, his confidence is riding high. He's got very good equipment. And, you know, definitely has the ability. So I think, you know, it's obviously a long season. But getting off to a hot start like this, and then Jimmy usually plans his schedule so that he saves a couple races at the end of the year. No matter what he does now, he will not claim out. If history is any indication, he'll still be able to come back at the end of the year. And if he's in the points championship at that point, if he's in the battle, he'll still be able to race like Phoenix or Vegas and Pomona to try to close it out. So, you know, obviously, again, off to a good start, but there are a couple other guys that are off to very nice starts as well. So it'll be a fun year to watch the points and how it plays out as we get through the summer.
And, of course, we are trying always to get more of the Lucas Oil Series stars on the show. And a great interview with Jimmy, folks, coming up. Jed Coughlin returning to the cockpit, but as a bracket racer this weekend, also in Vegas. Alan, I was thinking about it. If you're a drag racing fan and you live near Vegas, you have had just an unbelievable 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a nice little run, no question. And the Fling, you know, I don't know what the official count is, but I believe I heard somebody say they had over 600 entries. If you're not familiar with the way that this race is run, Pete Biondo and Kyle Seipel started doing this a couple of years ago. They are guys that have raced in and participated in numerous events. And they sat down and said, you know, if we were going to do one, what could we do to make it the best for the racer? And that's kind of the way that they took the approach when they started putting these events on. They have a lot of giveaways. They have a lot of fun. They have a lot of specialty races. And it's just, you know, come out and have at it. And over the course of the weekend, you know, basically they'll run four separate races, one Thursday, one Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday, big money to win each day. So if you come out and you have a bad day, or, you know, you miss the tree, or you do something, it's not like, geez, I just drove all this way and now I'm done. It's just, you know what, just take a break, come back and try it again tomorrow. And it's, as I said, it's a fun event. A lot of talent will be out there on the racetrack. And, you know, I've worked the first one that they did back in Bristol a couple of years ago, and I don't think I ever used the words a 003 light left last more in my life than over the course of 3 days. You know, those big dollar bracket race guys are really, really good at what they do.
We're going to talk with Jeg about it, obviously, a six-time champion, but has to switch into a different mode, especially running around with that Jeg's logo on the side. Going to be interesting to hear from him. Robert Height and the rest of us headed all down to Royal Purple Raceway in Baytown, Texas, and, of course, the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. Kind of cool to get back down there. Robert Height, 10 years, been doing the winning thing on the Mellow Yellow Series Tour.
Doesn't seem like it's possible that it's been that long, does it?
No, and speaking with him, when it was made aware to me, like, hey, this is the 10th anniversary, it just, time flies, let's put it that way.
There's no question about that. I was there at his first one, remember it vividly. Houston's a fun little racetrack. It's, you know, if the weather cooperates, it's one of the fastest places we go. I haven't looked at the forecast for the weekend. You know me, I'm not a forecast guy. I just get up and go, and whatever it is what it is, but you know, hopefully Mother Nature will be kind to us, and we'll get out there and have some fun and make it another terrific Houston event.
I've been seeing some rumblings on the net. Apparently it has been raining there the past couple of weeks. They've been getting a lot of water, and so they're trying to dry out the pits, and it's been a bit of a challenge. I've seen some people online, and some of our questions that we got today, which we're going to kind of gloss them into this, as well as one other subject I want to bring up momentarily, but there are things you can control, and then there are things you just cannot control. An overwhelming amount of water coming into your area for a couple of weeks ahead of your event, I don't think that's one that you can control.
No, there's nothing certainly that they can do about it. You know, the facility has had to deal with some weather issues before, and, you know, if it's a matter of maybe adjusting the schedule, if it's a matter of doing things differently, you know, the racers in that part of the world are also familiar with the concept that, you know, things don't always go according to plan because Mother Nature can change her mind at any point in time. So they've been pretty good about, you know, being flexible, working with NHRA, with the staff to try to get it done, you know, basically just as cleanly and as smoothly as possible. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And they
looking forward to it.
They had that deal with the one of their neighbors, a recycling company, and dust, and they have been having a lot of unracing-related challenges.
Yes, and they've also been able to overcome all of them. Of course, you know, the Angel family that owns the facility now, and Seth Angel in particular, who oversees it, the general manager and takes care of business out there, has a very good handle on, you know, what it takes to make the event happen. There are people that aren't afraid to experiment with some different stuff. They've brought in different sound systems and pyrotechnics from time to time and just various other things. So looking forward to seeing what they've got for us this time. But, you know, the guys at Houston will put in whatever effort is necessary to make sure that the race goes off as smoothly as possible, and, you know, whatever challenges come up along the way, we'll just deal with them.
I was there 2 years ago for the live TV event, and the people there in the suites, the fans, not that there is anywhere that we go that they are unfriendly. They're friendly everywhere. They're at a racetrack. But these people were exceptionally friendly, loving it, having a great time. It is a huge market. Houston is just absolutely huge, and I am very much looking forward to it. Now, on the off weeks, we usually do questions, but last week I teased the fact we're going to bring up a subject matter, and in place of the questions, I want to kick it around, because it seems like every day now, this new, what I'm calling a new social media, much the way Facebook came on and Twitter came online, and it really changed the nature of the world. These new brands, Meerkat and Periscope, which is basically live streaming through your mobile device to anyone that wants to watch, are changing everything. And every day, more people are figuring it out and understanding what it is or experimenting with what it's capable of. And I'm hearing other sports and sanctions, and everybody is trying to wrap their arms around what can be done with it in a positive way, what needs to be avoided in a negative way, and what are the challenges and benefits associated with it. Alan, have you any insight into what can happen, will happen, is happening using this new technology around the sport of drag racing?
Well, you know, I know that there have been some team people that have embraced it and have been using the technology from the events. You know, I don't know that NHRA, as of yet, has an official stance on it. It's a difficult situation to be in. You know, if you are charging admission for your event and you have a television package in place, you have the audio broadcast in place, you have everything in place so that your customers can access it, how comfortable are you with somebody else coming in and just blasting it out to the world, you know, in essence, behind the scenes and for free? And I don't know what the correct answer is. You know, one of the things that came up in discussion last weekend was, if you bought a ticket for the Pacquiao-Merriweather fight and went and sat in the front row and held your phone up and broadcast that thing live, they'd break your legs. So, you know, what exactly is the right way and wrong way to go about this? You know, if you have a private event at your house, do you want one of your guests coming in and broadcasting it to the world just because the technology is available?
It depends on the nature of the event, but probably not. Probably,
yeah,
not.
And you know, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, I don't know. I don't think it can be stopped, but I do think that, you know, A, there have to be some kind of restrictions in place, probably, and B, you know, the people that are doing this have to take some responsibility for what they're doing. I don't know. You know, the world has changed so much now, you know, but it just boggles the mind that people take pictures of this stuff, put them up on Facebook, and then, you know, you get fired from your job or you get in trouble about this, and you, well, they weren't supposed to look at that. What are you talking about? You put them up there. You put it out there. And I hope that this kind of technology doesn't lead to, you know, teams putting up curtains around the race cars and blocking some of the great fan interaction that we have out there, because they don't want what they're doing to be broadcast that anybody else can see it. And, you know, I can see the possibility of some of that happening. If somebody gets, you know, in behind the scenes, as it were, or in and wants to, you know, be one of the cool kids and share this with the world, they could end up hurting the access that everybody has out there. And that's strictly my opinion. I'm not in any way, shape, or form speaking for NHRA. I know that it's something that's on their radar, but I don't know, you know, I don't know what the ultimate outcome is. I know you can't take one of those things and go to a golf game.
No, you can't take your phone or a camera into a golf tournament at all.
Exactly. So, you know, we certainly don't want drag racing to end up there, or at least I don't. But, you know, you just, I think it's a matter of, you know, using the technology responsibly. You know, a team member that's down on the starting line streaming the final rounds, in my opinion, I don't think that that's, you know, being responsible with the technology. And that's, you know, strictly my opinion. But, you know, if you're down in a restricted area, you're in and around race cars, you're down, you should be paying attention to what's going on around you, not making sure that your phone is in focus. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the answer is. But I think that, you know, the biggest thing, I think, is people using the technology and being responsible with it.
It's definitely going to be interesting. We have been doing a lot of it from in our studio, which, of course, is a totally different animal, but also a lot less interesting to people other than WFO hardcore listeners, mostly on the Ignition show.
But you doing it in your studio is not the same thing.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But
if you had a guest in your studio that was there to do an interview, do something, and you've got some snazzy new technology, something, you've got, you know, a big announcement coming next week, you've got, do you want these guys taking pictures and taking video and telling everybody, hey, here's Joe's big secret that he's going to be keeping? I mean, that's, you know, you have to be responsible with the technology. You doing it is not the same as somebody else doing it.
Absolutely. But in the end, though, and this is where I come down, because I've been spending a lot of time thinking about this, there's no way to police it. And that's, in the end, you just can't police it. And if every fan in the grandstand held up their phone and meerkatted streamed the final rounds, in the end, isn't that a good thing? Because they're exposing the sport to whoever, you know, these are just citizens, 10 people, 20 people, 15 people, whatever. Isn't that growing the sport something we desperately need? Whereas, like, Mayweather, Pacquiao, they are going to, that's going to be the most viewed event ever in the history of the earth, more than likely.
Well, I mean, yes and no. If you're saying, well, gee, this is great, we're getting it out to people that haven't seen it before, okay, maybe. Do you feel the same way if you're a guy who spent money buying ads on the ESPN show that people now aren't going to watch because they've already seen the finals live? And, you know, that's another thing that you know, I think has to be taken into consideration at some level is, you know, we have a product, and I think that, you know, one of the reasons I believe that NHRA is trying to go further and farther into the live TV stuff is because at that point, it really doesn't matter. You know, I know people that spend chunks of their day not being on the Internet, you know, not being on Twitter, so that they can watch the TV show that airs 2 hours or 3 hours after the event and see it without knowing the outcome. Well, if they could sit in their office, watch a live stream on the TV or on the computer, and now they got to see the event live, and they know the outcome, you're now not watching the television show that my advertisers are paying for. So it's, you know, there's upside and downside, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. If the races were all on live TV, then I think it would be a much smaller issue, simply because, you know, do you want to watch the race from somebody's cell phone 600 feet down in the grandstands, or do you want to watch the, whatever it is, 10 or 12 cameras that ESPN has and all the different angles and all the different replays? So, you know, that would take a lot of it out of the equation if all the races were on live TV and you could get them live and in real time in the highest possible quality instead of having to try to watch a cell phone video on the internet.
Certainly a disruptive technology, and it's out there and it's just gaining ground. I really believe it is going to change the nature of a lot of different things. But just the way Facebook did, the idea that people were out taking photographs of stuff happening on the track and posting them and sharing them, initially that was met with confusion, resistance. What is this? Nobody knew. Governments fell because of Twitter. That's all you need to know. Once upon a time, you saw 10 people talking together on the street corner. You could go bust them up and kill the idea. And that was obviously conquered by things like Twitter and Facebook. So it'll be interesting to see how these technologies are either beneficial or a challenge. But either way, we're going to go through it because, as we initially said, and I think we both agree, policing it is impossible.
Well, and once again, there's a difference between, you know, you doing something. If you want to take a picture and put it on Facebook, that's wonderful. Now, you know, as far as other people see, if you want to put something on Twitter, that's wonderful. But if you have something that you are trying to keep under wraps, or something that's private or something that's personal, do you want me putting it on Facebook? Do you want me putting it on Twitter? And, you know, yes, it... A Mellow Yellow event is a public event. You know, we want people to come out and watch it. We want people to enjoy it. We want people to have a good time. But you have to responsibly use the technology. If Rara Morrison wants to put a video together about, you know, hey, here's how you build a small block Chevy and stream it from their shop, I think that's terrific. But if Joe Costello is in Rara Morrison's shop and he's, like, secretly streaming the Pro Stock stuff on his phone, that's not acceptable. And that's, you know, that's kind of where you draw the line is, you know, if you're putting up your stuff, that's wonderful. If you're putting up my stuff, I should have something to say about that. And, you know, and that's kind of where I think the line of demarcation is going
to
come in.
I agree with that. And I think that's a good way to say it. And I think in terms, that's where it's going to hash out as people go through this process. And I'm sure there will be people who go over the line, and there will be lawsuits or some sort of consequences, and it will stabilize. But that, what I think you just described, is basic human judgment. You know, you don't invade other people's personal or business privacy, and if you do, you're doing the wrong thing.
Well, if, you know, if one of the Schumacher teams wins, and they're out celebrating and they're having a good time, and, you know, one of the guys on the team is taking a video to share with, you know, friends, family, wives back home, whatever, that's wonderful. But if the guys are out, you know, having a good time, dressed in street clothes, just enjoying their stuff, and a fan wants to go take this video and go, hey, look at these guys embarrassing themselves doing this, that's a whole different thing. You know, you putting it up versus somebody else putting it up. And I just, you know, I don't know, again, I'm certainly not going to be the one that makes the decision or figures out how all this works. I just think that it's got some potential major downside if it's not handled responsibly.
Well, and we'll live through the whole period of growth, because it's happening. And just the other night, watching some of these people as they come online and figure it out and put it to their own personal usage, it's interesting to see some of the other series, IndyCar, the NASCAR journalists, showing different aspects. You know, obviously the PR people have gotten a hold of it and realized, wow, if we're having an autograph signing, let's stream it. And so the people who are at the autograph signing are now, you know, the driver is his interaction with the fans is being shown out to the world. But, yeah, there are lots of challenges.
Again, though, Joe, that's you streaming your event.
Yes.
You know, if you're the PR person, if I'm Joe Costello's PR person and Joe's doing a deal and I want to go stream that event, no problem. But if I'm Joe Costello's PR person and I go with him to the NASCAR drivers meeting, they don't want that being streamed just because the technology is available. So you have to, you know, that's what you do at your event and what you do at somebody else's event are two different things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see how that all goes. And again, the policing of it is the real challenge, because even if we say that is an invasion of privacy and we don't like it, what are we going to do? And are we willing to follow up with litigation, which we are not more than often? So it'll be, you know, what levers can be pulled to control it, if there are any? And that's the challenge. It's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But, hey, like I said, we're going to live through it and watch how it happens and see how the decisions get made. Alan, great job as usual. I'm looking forward to Houston. We're going to have ourselves a great time down there in Baytown, Royal Purple Raceway, just days from now.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Travel safe, and I will see you in the Lone Star State.
I'll see you there. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. Who's going to be there? Are you going to be there out there at Royal Purple Raceway? I'm going to be there. Come on out. Hang out with us. We're going to have a great time at the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. We got a great time on this show. Hopefully you're subscribed. Some people click the link each week and they wait for the social media, and that's great. I appreciate it. But if you subscribe on iTunes, if you use your iPhone or your Android phone to subscribe to the podcast, just go to the podcast catcher and type it in. You'll never miss a WFO radio show. We have our Ignition show. We've got our Nitro show. We put up lots of great content, even an app, WFO Radio. Search for it in the App Store and Google Play so you can keep up with everything and enable push notifications like this great show we've got. Robert Height, Jeg Coughlin Jr., Jimmy DeFrank, Frank Hawley. Are you kidding me? How many championships is that? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 championships? My goodness. We're bringing the heat here on WFO Radio. No Bobby Bennett, though. So a lot coming up. We got Robert Height coming up next. Getting ready for Houston. But right now, I want to talk to all the entrepreneurs out there, all the business owners out there, everyone who's been thinking about getting something going. Do you have employees? Do you need legal and business advice? If that is the case, the first thing I have to tell you is that I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. But a lot goes into every successful racing-related business. As you know, engineers, mechanics, PR reps, marketing experts, and, of course, sponsor and advertiser relationships. And when it comes to building these relationships, sound legal advice may help you avoid costly mistakes. Well, the folks at Spiegel & Utrera, PA, have the General Counsel Club that can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times that can help you avoid those mistakes. And right now, for WFO Radio listeners, from New York to L.A., Chicago to Miami, and all points in between, WFO listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. We had Larry Spiegel on the show a couple of weeks ago, got a lot of very positive feedback about the interview. Obviously, big supporter of WFO Radio. Go to the front page of the website, WFOradio.com, and you'll see on the right-hand side a banner ad, AmeriLawyer.com. All you have to do is enter your information, no credit card, no obligation. You just get 30 days free membership in the General Counsel Club. And you can ask unlimited business and legal questions about converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, leasing versus buying options for real estate, vehicles and equipment, the creation of business entities, the drafting of contracts and legal documents, how to buy or sell a business. They can help out with it all, and it's just a great thing to have someone to bounce ideas off of. We asked Larry, when he was on the show, about whether people are holding back, waiting to get their business going. And the concept was, it's better to ask your questions up front. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, enter your email address, and receive 30 days free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. Knowledge is power, and knowing that Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club, just one phone call away, may give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night. We'll be back with Robert Height coming up next on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com barbecue spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO Radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Folks, we have got the champions, Matt Hagen.
It was awesome feeling to be able to go out there and turn four wing lights on, win a championship, and beat John in the final. I mean, that's what we've been working for. That's been our goal for the whole year.
Erica Ender Stevens, and she joins us now.
If we want to be the best, we've got to beat the best, and that's what we had to do.
Andrew Hines. Being on WFO is like an extra little bonus.
It is. You know, that's one of the first things I always think about after I see that wind light. You know, you get the Wally and you think, okay, I get to talk to Joe tomorrow. It's a pretty awesome deal. You've done a great job. You're a great ambassador for our sport. And we really appreciate what you've done for us to bring another platform for people to hear us.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Getting ready for Houston. Heading back to Texas. And we have got a driver who was just so close last time out and wasn't afraid to say so. Now going back to the site of his first win 10 years ago. Joining us now from John Force Racing, Chevrolet driver Robert Height. Robert, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Great, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. 10 years. It's a long time. Has it been a lot? Does it feel like a long time since that first win?
No, it feels like a blur. I mean, the time, it just goes by so fast. You know, they always say time goes by fast when you're having fun, and that is definitely the truth here. But no, it does not seem like 10 years. It has been a blur, actually, and I look back to that first win, and then I look and I'm thinking, how did I even get through all that, you know? I was young and really didn't have a clue, but I was in a great race car, and it worked itself out.
It clearly has worked itself out. Runner-up last time out, I want to talk to you about that, but it is interesting to think about things then, things now, yourself then, yourself now. My listeners, hopefully they appreciate it. I try to use your life experiences and my guests' life experiences as a way for us to benefit, to learn something. If you could tell yourself something then as yourself now, gain from your experience, what would you say to yourself if you were talking to Robert Height from 10 years ago, who was about to win his first race, who was about to go on this awesome journey, become a popular driver out there in the NHRA? What would you tell yourself to prepare yourself?
Well, actually, I was pretty fortunate that I had a lot of people around me that helped me and gave me good advice that had already been there and done that, per se, you know. Had John Force, who, you know, he's done everything in the sport. But one guy that actually gave me a lot of good advice was Ed the Ace McCullough. You know, he told me when I first started, he's like, you've got to get out there and make 100 runs as quick as you can make them. Don't try to do 100 runs over the next year. Try to make them as quick as you can. In those 100 runs, you're gonna experience a little of everything. And you're going to have that under your belt and have that in your knowledge bank for the next time it comes up. And, you know, those were pretty good words. And, you know, I still feel 10 years later that I'm still learning. And I always try to take that approach because I don't want to get complacent, believe that I've got this figured out. Because it seems like with these nitro cars, just when you think that, oh, man, this is easy, it bites you right in the butt. So, you know, I always take the approach that I'm going to learn from every single run and get better. And I think think that has worked well for me.
Now, last race out in Vegas, you did something that I thought was super cool, and you got bitten by it, or along with it. Let's explore. Final round, semifinal. You have just beaten Tommy Johnson Jr. in a great side-by-side drag race. You know you're going to the final round against your boss, John Force, the legend. And you also know that one of you is going to get to say that you're the first winner for Chevrolet in this new era. And you looked right into the camera, and you said, with authority, I'm going to be that guy. And I thought to myself at that moment, I said, man, that's exactly what our guys need to do. Because there's people watching right now who they don't know if he's going to win or going to lose, but they're going to stick around to find out. And you said it with authority and with passion and determination, and I thought it was great. And you went out there and lost by a whisker to your boss, John Force. And so, obviously, it would have been cooler if you could have won the race, but hey, those are the breaks. I liked the fact that you had the guts to say something definitive at that moment. Give me your angle when you were saying that, and hopefully we'll continue to put that out there, because I thought it was really good.
So you mean you enjoyed me putting my foot in my mouth?
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because, it didn't work out.
My car was running great. We were nearly low ET every round. We were running good. I was driving good, and I honestly believed I was going to win in the final. And I think you have to feel that way, okay? You have to believe that you're going to win the next round. And I wanted it. I mean, it was something that was pretty important to me. I wanted to win for Chevrolet. I was a big part of putting that whole deal together. And, I wanted to show the fans and everybody on TV that I was confident. And right up till it shot a spark plug out, my game plan was going perfect, because at half track I was ahead of John in the final, and shot a plug out. It dropped that cylinder, and right in the lights he drove by me. I mean, it was, two thousandths of a second. I think those are the kind of races that the fans really love, especially when it's team cars involved. And, congratulations to John. He got the job done, and we were close, but, Not much more I can say.
Well, I'm giving you credit.
I'm happy that our teams have, I believe, turned the corner, and we're performing better and performing more like we're used to performing.
I'm looking at it, and I definitely want to get into that angle about the young teams and some of the things that I have seen. But I just want to make sure that I drive home the point for the audience that I felt like that was entertainment. The racing is going to be the racing, and you as the driver can only control what it is that you can control. You can keep the car in the groove. You can have a good reaction time. You can get it from here to there as best as you can, given the circumstances. But when Robert Hight, or any drag racer, says something with passion, authority, and determination right to me, the viewer at home, it makes me want to watch more, as opposed to the other safer side of the interview, which could have been something like, well, our team has won already, and I just hope we can do it, and it would be great if I win, but if not, I still win because John wins. You did the right thing. It just didn't work out for you. I want to see more of that. That was great stuff.
Okay. I hope I'm in the position to do it again.
I have a feeling. Now, let's talk about the young teams here. You guys did not have, I won't say that. I was going to say you guys did not have the great start that you wanted, but I don't know that that is possible to just come out of the box with a brand new team after spending the entire offseason working on other things, wrapping haulers and getting cars ready and getting bodies approved. I don't know that it's possible to just come out like gangbusters, but you mentioned now you guys are getting it rolling. Talk about the transition from the offseason switchover to getting these new young guys, some of which John told us last week were not even, they were coming out of hospitality. They were working on the team just so maybe they could get this opportunity, now starting to show what they're capable of.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of truth to that. But, in all honesty, with the Auto Club team, we have not, we didn't have any turnover, okay? The only guy we lost was John Schaefer, who has been Mike Neff's right-hand man, and now he's tuning John's car. And, yes, that's a big loss. He oversaw that car and, knew it front front to back and worked on it day and night. So, yeah, that was a loss. But in all honesty, we still got a lot of good guys that have been here a lot of years with Mike Neff. Mike Neff has a great combination. He's a smart guy. So the Auto Club team has not been happy with our performance, you know, all year. Testing went great. We were, you know, I think maybe that kind of hurt us. We had such good conditions over there in Phoenix, and we haven't had those conditions since then, and we've struggled. So I can tell you this, the Auto Club team has already tested more this year than we did all of last year combined. So we're focused on getting back to where we feel we need to be, and we haven't been happy with our performance. But Vegas definitely turned the corner. We're happy. But the other teams, you know, you've got to, you know, expect a learning curve because they are new guys, new teams, and it takes a while to gel. But with the Auto Club team, we really felt that we would, you know, start with at Pomona and, you know, hit the road running, and it hadn't been that way. So, you know, it makes you dig deeper and work harder, and, you know, going to Houston, we're the defending champ, where I got my first win. Mike Neff, when he was a driver and tuner, he owned that place, so I like going there.
Would you say, and I always like to find out for the audience out there, just like the way the organizational system works, would you say now John's team is a clone of your team, as in it is now being created in the image of what you guys have on the Auto Club team, being that John has moved over there and was Mike Knapp's, Zibby's right-hand man?
Without a doubt. And, you know, that's, I think, in the long run, that's going to make us successful. All three of our funding car teams, you know, are based on, you know, Mike Neff's combination. And every single run that each car goes to make, data is exchanged. There's might be a half-hour-long conversation between all of those crew chiefs. And each person knows what the other team's doing. So if they run before us, if it goes good or bad, we know what to do to make changes. And if what's really cool to me is if you walk in John Force's trailer, that John Schaefer tunes that car, the trailers are all laid out the same. Every drawer in that trailer is exactly like the drawer in my trailer, has the same goods. And it's really cool that I can go over there and know exactly where to find something, or vice versa, they can come over and find something in our trailer. That just makes us closer and more organized.
Has it been frustrating for you, someone who has had so much success and is a very intense competitor, to watch your competitors at the start of the season, meaning DSR, have such a great start to the season while you guys have been sorting out issues, knowing that you want to get to where you can be, but at the same time, there's been just a lot of very positive pub going their way and a lot of great things prior to Vegas?
No, you always expect that. I mean, they're a powerhouse. They're a good team. They have been for a long time. You know, the roles are reversed at the beginning of the year. Last year, we couldn't lose. I think I went to 5 straight finals at the beginning of the year and won a lot of races. Courtney, John, we all were rolling last year doing well. And, you know, it just shows you how tough these cars are. New clutch discs, new parts, lots of different changes. And, you know, it doesn't take much to get you off track or to have to learn a new combination because of what you're faced with in the clutch disc world, all that kind of stuff. But I think them doing so well has made us work harder, and in the long run we'll be better. And we also know that the way the countdown works is, unfortunately, you really just got to be good the last 6 races of the year. If I could trade last year, you know, swap my season around from front to back, man, that would have been pretty nice to win as many races late as we did early.
A lot of people talking about the 6-disc versus 5-disc clutch back and forth, whether it be figuring out the tune-up or maybe doing a little testing here and there. Is that something that you guys have already done, are doing, are already locked in with? Where are you in terms of that program?
All of the above. We've been working on it pretty hard, and you know, we've made some really good runs with it. But you know, the proof's in the pudding. You got to go out there and you've got to do it under all different conditions. And I think as the summer months come, I think it's going to be pretty important to get that worked out to where you know, have nice smooth application and lockup. And we've kind of committed to that. We're going to take the next few races and hit that hard. And I don't believe it's going to put us, you know, set us back. I believe it's the right thing to be doing. And I also think we can be very, very competitive with it.
Very interesting stuff. Now, what about away from the track, Robert? Have you done anything over the past couple of weeks at the start of 2015 that has just blown your mind away from work? I know we spent a lot of time talking about the racing, and your plate has been full dating back to last year. You have been, I don't want to say overwhelmed, because you're not overwhelmed, but certainly had enough that could overwhelm someone in that same position. But now that, you know, the Chevrolet deal is behind you and sponsorship for the organization is behind you and things are starting to settle down and you know there's people in position to do the right thing, have you been able to take any time away and refresh yourself?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I've been in the midst of moving and, you know, getting a new house together, so that's been keeping me plenty busy. And, you know, an off weekend here or there is nice to kind of get caught up and get everything back in order. But I'll be honest, when you're not winning races, all I want to do is get back to that racetrack, because you're not going to get better, you know, doing anything else but, you know, focusing on racing and working on that race car. And can't wait to get back at it at Houston this weekend.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals at Royal Purple Raceway. Robert, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. And who knows, maybe we'll be talking after the winner's circle just like this.
That would be pretty cool. You know, it's 10 years has been pretty awesome. I, you know, Jimmy Prock was there for most of those wins. Mike Neff, you know, not many guys can put that on their resume that they've driven cars tuned by those two. But I tell you what I'm most proud of is, you know, one sponsor in 10 years, and that's the Auto Club. And we're on board for, you know, many years to come. And that's pretty rare that somebody can stand there and say, you know, the first 10 years of their career, they had the same sponsor. So I owe a lot to the Auto Club.
That is awesome. Well, we greatly appreciate it. You're absolutely right. Those relationships, you know what it says? It says that it's working. It's working for them. And me as just a regular citizen out here, when I think of the Auto Club, I think of you. And so there's definitely some sort of connection out there. You're doing a great job for them as well. Robert, thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Good luck this weekend. Always love getting a little behind-the-scenes info to what's going on with you and your team. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Height with us here on WFO Radio. Get ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. 10 years, it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, but then again, time flies, and it just keeps on moving, absolutely moving, but I'm looking forward to it. Remember, if you're going to be in the area, follow me at WFO Joe or at WFO Radio or on Facebook or on Twitter or on Meerkat or whatever, and if you're going to be in the area, let's do a tweet up, WFO Radio style. I love when WFO Radio listeners absolutely represent, especially rocking their WFO Radio gear, which is super cool. That is the best thing ever when you see people who you don't know wearing the WFO Radio t-shirts. Just a special thing. You can get it in the WFO store. I want to say a big welcome to the folks at YourVelocity.com. You hear Larry Dixon on here as a spokesperson talking about YourVelocity.com, an online magazine with a lot of great resources for the entrepreneurs out there. Very cool. And I always knew that the racing community was wrought with successful people, because to go racing, you have to be successful. You have to be aggressive. You have to go out there and do it. I see the folks at Your Velocity have got some great resources out there to help you along. Welcome to them. Very good stuff. Also on the show, We've got Jed Coughlin coming up. We've got Jimmy DeFrank coming up. And we've got Frank Hawley coming up. Talk about successful people. That is going to be very interesting to see. We've got our own resident successful person, though, and that is Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, over 40 single original coffees to choose from, including the Blends, the WFO Radio, the Bang the Blower, the Reaction Time number 4, all kinds of great blends. Look, the winter is over, folks. It's gone. I know there are some places in the country that are saying, no, it's not. And I know. I'm sorry. I'm kind of generalizing a little bit for the commercial. There are some places it's still winter. But generally speaking, in the United States of America, winter should be over by now. And that means it's time to grill, to get out there and fire up the barbecue. Marvin Rodak out of Fort Worth, Texas, is an award-winning barbecuer. He's got all kinds of great recipes. I am following this guy on Twitter, A26Guy, at A26Guy, and he is tweeting out all these great recipes and like bacon wrapped in, it's just unbelievable. The barbecue spice rubs, the hot sauces, the coffees. It is just something that is so nice throughout the day to enjoy, and you can check them all out. Go to WFOradio.com and click the banner ad, or go to RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. In the end, though, and you can find in our clips section, we did an interview with Marvin a couple of weeks ago. You're hearing that we're having our sponsors on the show because these people are just great personalities. They're cool people. They have a lot of information. They're part of the show. 817-924-6821. Marvin was on, and he was saying, "What, Marvin, why? Why do you want to hear from the people out there? I want to hear what they like in their coffee, what they're looking for. Maybe I can recommend something, how they're enjoying it, these kind of things." And I think that is just super cool. That's why I'm proud to be telling you about RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin! He's been doing it since 1976. They even sell grills and coffee wood for grilling and smoking. They've got all kinds of great recipes on there. Go to the website, bounce around, but in the end, give them a call. I love the WFO Radio Blend. I love it. I was grinding up WFO Radio Blend for a friend of mine the other day. They've got the K-Cup deal. Got the custom deal. Stuff it with some Rodaks. Make the K-Cup in the morning with your own coffee. Doesn't have to be in that non-recyclable cup. You can do your own deal and fill it with Rodaks. There's Bang the Blower. There's the exotic coffees like the Panama Geisha and the Hawaiian Kona coffees. He's got it all. You got to talk to him. 817-924-6821. We're headed to Texas this weekend. Makes me think about a little. RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. When we come back, we're going to hear from Jeg Coughlin Jr., his first race of 2015, and he is going bracket racing, heading to Vegas for the K&N Spring Fling Vegas. We're going to talk with Jeg. You know he's going to have a bullseye on the side of that car. We're going to hear from Jeg when we return, right here on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223, or visit frankhawley.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals down there at Royal Purple Raceway. Any WFO Radio listener is going to be out there. Be sure to say hi, say what's up, say WFO, because I will be there, and I am very much looking forward to it. But you know, that's not the only big racing that's going on in the country. In fact, this weekend, to complete, I guess, a troika of big weekends out there in Vegas, the K&N Spring Fling Bracket Races in Vegas happening this weekend, and it is actually the 2015 season debut of six-time NHRA champion Jeg Coughlin Jr., who joins us now to talk about going bracket racing. Jeg, welcome back to WFO.
Hey, Joe. Thanks. Great to be back.
Whenever you're on, from way back in our Miami days when I was on locally, we always talked pro racing and bracket racing together. This weekend, you're making your season debut in a bracket dragster. What made you decide that this would be the race you would come out first in 2015 for?
Ideally, I'd hope to be out a little bit earlier in the season. I wanted to go to the Jeg's Cajun Sports Nationals down in Belrose, Louisiana. My wife, Samantha, and I just gave birth to our daughter, Carly, back in January, and just wasn't ready to make the trek there in March to Belrose. And so the next rung on my calendar was to try and hit the Spring Fling there in Vegas. Kyle Seifel and Pete Biondo put on a first-class race. They've got great, I think this is maybe their third or fourth year in Vegas, and they've been in Bristol now for a handful of years or more, and they real quickly, you know, these two seasoned guys, between the two of them, between nationals and divisional championships, have got over 40 major championships to their mantles, and they've quickly put on a great, great show with the two Spring Fling races, and it's going to be an exciting year. It'll be my debut, as you mentioned, and I made a few test laps here at our local track, National Trail Raceway, but I'm far from really comfortable at this point, but I'm going to get out and try to dust it off and get to work.
I am thrilled to hear you talk about the fatherhood experience going around again with it. And I think it's funny that you said, you know, my wife, Samantha, and I, we gave birth. That's a very modern thing to say. It's a very modern way to say it. But, you know, I wonder, you were definitely there for the moral support part of it.
No doubt. You know, I don't know how the women do it, quite honestly. It's such a process, you know, from start to finish, quite honestly. And once you do give birth, obviously life is continuing to unfold day by day, hour by hour, day by day, week by week. Carly's just over 3 months old now, and she's brought such joy to our family. And you know, I have an 18-year-old son, Jeggy the Third. And he's quickly become a great brother. So life is really good in our household, and you know, we're just getting going again.
It's not that you haven't had a lot on your plate, obviously. Those early months have got to be tough. I've seen some friends go through it, and I can only marvel at what it takes just in terms of staying awake and you know, keeping another person alive in the early days. But yeah. At the same time, have you had your eye on drag racing? Have you been watching pro stock? Have you been thinking about what's going on and maybe how you would handle situations that are arising, your thoughts about what's going on? Has your mind been at all at the drag strip?
No doubt. It never leaves the drag strip. It never leaves there. It never leaves Jake's mail order alike. So, yeah, I've tuned in to most of the shows or caught highlights, you know, through the recorded shows. Of course, always click on the various NHRA.com to the world to see what's going on. And, you know, I've followed my good friend Dave Conley as he's transitioned into Top Fuel. Would certainly love to see him just catch a break of any sort on the positive side. He's, you know, an extremely talented racer on the bracket racing side and the professional racing side. So I've been watching him and trying to cheer him along a little bit, and been watching pro stock as things have unfolded there. You know, a couple of great powerhouses still continue to ring in the wins week in and week out. You know, a huge weekend for Elite Motorsports last week with Erica and Richard Freeman and that team, you know, pulling off the double there in Vegas, which is, you know, a feat that's unbelievable to accomplish. They've done it 2 years in a row, and many of us have tried that for years. So, yeah, I've definitely stayed in tune. I do miss being behind the wheel of the pro stock cars. They are absolute animal to drive. You know, just trying to be that efficient person behind the wheel, that's what I really, really miss the most. And I miss being with the fans. So, you know, there's a lot of other things, too, that you miss not being out there week in and week out. But I've had a lot of great things going on in my life, and I'm really, really happy with where I'm in right now, the place I'm in right now. And I'm really excited to get to Vegas here. I'm going to fly out tomorrow and hop right in with them. Day one is they're featuring a special race during their test and tune session on Wednesday. It is 32 cars, $50,000 to win, and I'll be one of those 32 cars duking it out for the big check come Wednesday evening. So that'll be the kickoff to the spring flings there, and looking forward to it.
I think it's really cool that you love bracket racing so much, and part of what we've always tried to do when we speak is entice the fans out there who in Vegas, you know, they have gotten a lot of great racing over the past couple of weeks. And this one, bracket races, so many people will say, oh, they're boring. There's nothing to see there, which I really think is the furthest thing from the truth. I remember going up to the 5-day bracket championship, which is in my part of the country, so I could drive there, and being wildly entertained by everything that's going on. Because if you are a fan and you just go there and walk around, you're immersed by great racing personalities. And they are there. You might have to win it. You might have to go 8 or 9 rounds. So whoever does it has really accomplished something. How is the mindset different, Jeg, when you're going to a race like this? You already know you're going to get multiple opportunities to win multiple races. To do it, you're going to have to really do something special. And at the same time, everybody there is really good at what they do and would really like to beat you. Just for the fun of it, just to say, hey, I beat Jeg. That's cool.
Yeah, it's well, there's a lot of questions in there, and you know, it's always flattering. You know, I've signed a lot of ET slips in the last 20 years, where you know, a local racer maybe to track I've not been to, you know, guns me down as it happens a lot. As you mentioned, bracket racing is a very, very difficult sport. You know, first and foremost, in my case, you know, we're putting our best foot forward, trying to have, I'm taking two cars, I'm taking a dragster that'll run in the 460 range in the 8th mile, and a door car, a Chevy 2 wagon that runs in the mid 660s, so in the 8th mile. And so first and foremost, we got to have both the cars prepared. The ideal situation is the cars just repeat, repeat, repeat. And as far as their performances go, now me behind the wheel of both cars, you know, I need to have a great routine. I have to have a great mindset. You know, the burnout's got to be just right. I know that sounds kind of corny. The staging has to be impeccably precise each and every time, you know, because if you overstage by just a few little centimeters, that'll change your elapsed time by 3, 4, 5 thousandths of a second. Yeah, I know that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, when you're really splitting the hairs to try and be near triple zero on the tree, my goal is usually to be somewhere between 4 and 8 thousandths from triple zero. And my car dialing, I'm always trying to have it run, you know, within 2 or 3 thousandths over my predicted time. And it's an art. There's so much going on. So many things can happen. And just like in the pro cars, I mean, as soon as the car launches, you're already starting to microprocess. You know, what did that feel like? Did it feel any different than run before? Did it feel better? Did it feel worse? Am I going to have to play some strategy games here to, because it felt like it spun a little bit and I need to hit the nitrous to get it back, performance back to where it should be. It's such a game, and it's a game that's what brings me back year after year into bracket racing, because it's so challenging. And it doesn't matter if you have a street car, a car you've rented from a local rental car agency, or a $75,000 dragster. Each lane is created equal, and you can get beat just as easily as you can win. So it's virtually you know, man and machine, and it's extremely challenging, and that's what I enjoy about it.
The strategy part of it, I think, is very intriguing to me. And my mind, you know, obviously trying to build WFO Radio into one of those places where drag racers and drag race fans check in every once in a while to hear about the fans and the stars of the sport. It obviously requires, you know, my focus. But I've often thought, and I'm sharing this idea with you now because, you know, I think its time has come, and I think someone is on the verge of it. If they could make Texas Hold'em poker interesting, intriguing on TV when it's just guys sitting around a table, and the way they did it was by exposing to the home audience what the cards are. If we couldn't see what the cards were on the screen, I don't think it would be interesting because no one would know what was going on, who was bluffing, who wasn't bluffing. I really think the day that they figure out how to put the reaction times and all these things in real time up on the screen so that a person can see that Jeg just had a 002 and that Jeg is holding 4 and Jeg told us he's holding 4, he's going up against whoever, and the race takes place before our eyes. I think bracket racing could maybe have its day in the sun, but how do you know that? How do you know what kind of strategy you're going to employ at a given moment against a racer who might be totally honest, going all out, trying to go dead on, zero, just airing it out, versus the guy that's holding 500s in his pocket and he's going to try to make a move at some point down the racetrack? Like, how do you know what to do? Or is it just random?
No, typically I'm one that has, I try and keep it simple, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of different philosophies, but, you know, I might have 2 or 3 game plans in mind, and that pertains to reaction time and how I launched the car, and then that also pertains to the lapse time that I put on the dial. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I may dial up a couple, because I feel like the track may be a little bit hotter and I want to be a little bit cautious of it. But, you know, more times than not, you try and keep it simple. You try and be mid to low 00 and try and put the car on a dead on run, and then use your microprocessing thoughts, as I said earlier, and just try and, you know, get a feel for, you know, your car, you know it well, you've made hundreds of runs in it, in this case, I have, and, you know when it leaves, how it felt, and are you going to need to adjust something? Now, what the person is doing in the other lane, you don't know what their game plan is, as you mentioned, and you just have to, again, microprocess, you know, where you are on the racetrack, where are they on the racetrack, so I know what my reaction time is within maybe 4 or 5 thousandths when the car launches, because I let go of the button, you know, and the car launched you know, through from yellow to green, and I can usually have a pretty good idea of what the reaction time is as it's going through the light. And after I've kind of gotten through the first 100 feet of the racetrack, you know, I have a good idea of what the ET is going to be on the board when I get there, because just the way it felt. So now you're looking at what your opponent is doing coming down the racetrack. If you're the faster car, you're kind of scaling yourself between, you know, your front tire to their front tire to where the finish line is, and how are you going to get there? Are you going to get there first? Are you going to get there second? And you just have to kind of make a decision in split microseconds as you're traveling down the eighth mile, in this case, at, you know, near 150 miles per hour, and judging getting to the finish line first, or you know, kind of, as you say, tapping out and allowing your opponent to get there first in hopes that they break out. So a lot of strategy, and, you know, we could talk for hours on the different ways of going about it. But, you know, a good friend of mine uses the theory of the KISS theory of keep it simple, stupid, and I've kind of adapted to that over the years, and, you know, just tried to, you know, do everything as perfectly as I can and allow the opponents to give you a window from some of their monkey business.
Well, exactly, and very often the opponents will lose the race as opposed to winning the race. Now, you mentioned you've signed ET slips. Is that aggravating? Because I know a lot of racers that you can't talk to them for an hour after a race has been lost, just because it's a lot of work, a lot goes into it, and they take it personally. They hate to lose. Does it get annoying?
No, not really. I mean, it really is flattering. Yeah, about the only the real scenario is if you just made a real hard error, you know, yourself, and you've lost the round because of an error or a bad decision you've made. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, good Lord willing, there's going to be another race, or there's going to be another round, potentially even within the same weekend that you're there. So, you know, I've always found it really cool, quite honestly. I think it's a neat thing.
Oh, I do too, and that's why we certainly rang you up to get you on the phone line. The third annual K&N Spring Fling Vegas races, bracket racing, a whole bunch of races. Does that change your attitude or your style in that when you go to an NHRA Mellow Yellow Series race, or even a Lucas Oil Series sportsman race like Super Comp, there is one race, and so clearly the pressure is on to not make mistakes and do your best at every moment. You would imagine that would be the case, but sometimes it's not going to happen. In this event, there are multiple opportunities to win multiple races that all, you mentioned your first day, there's a $50,000 race, 32 cars to win 50 grand. That's right. That's around what Pro Stock pays, so that's a pretty big check.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, philosophy-wise, I mean, in this case, you know, I'll be driving two cars in the same class. In the case of the Spring Fling in Vegas, they'll have Super Pro and Pro, which is a no electronics class, no delay boxes or shifting devices. Both of my cars will be in the Super Pro class. And, you know, having two cars going down the track every run, you know, allows me to get more and more comfortable. And, you know, you try not to put a whole lot of pressure on yourself. You try and just have a good game plan, try to stick to your game plan, and execute that game plan as best as possible. And, you know, you can do that near perfectly, and your wind light still doesn't turn on. That happens every race happens several times where you hear the phrase, I was double O dead on and got beat. You know what I mean? But, you know, you did just about everything right except turn the wind light on. And that's how close many, many of these rounds are going to be decided in this coming week and across the country, all your local tracks that are racing like this. So, yeah, I just try and remain calm, remain confident, and stick to my game plan and try and micro-process as best as I can from the time I let go of the button to the time the car launches to the time, you know, you decide to get to the finish line first or second. And, you know, time slip tells the rest of the story. So a lot of rounds ahead of us, not only this weekend, but the rest of the year. And we're looking to have a great year. Some of my best years in my racing career have been in the scenario where I haven't been professionally racing. So really looking forward to this weekend, getting my season kicked off.
Brother Mike going to be running in the Division One NHRA Lucas Oil Series event, chasing that Top Sportsman National Championship this weekend as well. So there's going to be Coughlin's racing on both coasts. Now, you mentioned the two cars. One final question for you, because as I'm thinking about it, as you're describing it, I'm thinking, wow, not only is this your first race of the year and you're running two cars, but both cars, folks, are very different in their characteristics, too. You get two opportunities to enter, but one, you're in a rear-engine super comp-style dragster, very quick, I'm sure runs deep into the sevens, or would be quarter-mile time.
Yep.
And the four-door Chevy 2 wagon, you already said 660s, is just so different in everything you have to do, like all of those feelings and where you're looking for the driver. One car, you're probably being caught a lot. What is the reason for that, and is it because they run door slammers and dragsters separate until the final four in the spring fling?
Well, they, a lot of the big bracket races have started running door cars with maybe the first four or five rounds together, and then co-mingling the door cars and the dragsters together later in the race, just as an opportunity to kind of split the field. Most of the big bracket races, too, just because you have a door car doesn't mean you have to run with the door cars. You can run with the dragsters all day long if you'd like. And, you know, they are completely different. Obviously, the Chevy 2, there's, you know, majority of the races I'll be looking over my shoulder being a slower car. But I just enjoy it. I've always enjoyed, you know, driving different cars. It keeps, has always kept my senses keen and, kept me on my toes, so to speak, to get out and perform and do what I love best. And, you know, when we built the Chevy 2 in 2005, 2006, Kenny Underwood, a good friend of mine and, you know, a good friend of yours, from South Florida there, you know, we built that car just to, about 99% of everything in that car came from Jegs or was built here in our shop. And it was just quite a project that we had. And it's probably one of the coolest cars, not in the drag pack challenger that we have. You know, fans will, like, trip over it. Just about anything else in the pits to check out those two cars. Very unique and they're a ton of fun to drive. So I like the challenge. The door cars are a lot more fun. We've even got a radio in the thing. So as you're cruising back after your run to get your time slip and going to the pits, you know, you got a little jams going. So it's a good time. You know, you got to keep it fun. And, you know, I haven't bracket raced a whole lot on the West Coast, so I'm really looking forward to, you know, running up against a lot of the guys that I've read about in some cases for my entire life, and in some cases I've read about some of these, I'll say kids, right, that have gone from junior dragsters into the big cars and, you know, are just knocking them dead. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very cool, and I appreciate you giving us a little insight into what you're going to take out there. The people in the region, I know they've had a lot of great racing to go to, but folks, if you're out there, this might be one to go see, walk the pits, and you can get really up close to what's going on and follow along with the various K&N Spring Fling races. Now, Jack, final question. Have you thought about Pro Stock again? Will we see you again in Pro Stock at some point in the future?
You know, that's hard to say. You know, I've had a couple of phone calls of maybe opportunities to hop in some things, but, you know, it's not that I don't have the interest. My energies are just focused in a couple of different areas, and that's not one of them. And I do enjoy Pro Stock at its fullest, without question. I would never say never. And you know, I've always tickled with the thought, and have had some opportunities to hop in the Kings of the Sports many times in my career, and I've even recently have. You know, talk myself into not wanting to go in that direction. So a lot of neat opportunities, but at the end of the day, I'm very happy with the way 2015 is going to be shaping out, and what holds itself in the future beyond that is yet to be determined.
Well, what you just brought up there is something that obviously you've heard it a million times. We've thought about it a million times. Dave is going through it right now and being very public about the learning curve and how cool and awesome it is and how fast the cars are and outrageous they are. So it'll be interesting just to see how what path your life takes over the next couple of years. But we'll certainly be watching you putting on a show. Jeg, thanks for coming on WFO. Always love reconnecting with you and talking a little bench racing. You'll be doing it for real this weekend. Thanks for coming on WFO. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Jeg Coughlin Jr. with us here on WFO Radio. Going bracket racing at the K&N Spring Fling Vegas races. And I know that they're going to have a ton of fun. If you can't make it to Baytown in Houston, Texas, and you can make it to Vegas, let me tell you, bracket racing, as soon as you understand what's going on, becomes wildly exciting. Who would have ever thought poker, people sitting around a poker table, would be exciting? It would not be until you get to see the cards and until you understand what's going on. And suddenly, you know this guy's bluffing. You know this guy's making a move. You understand what's going on. And it is wildly exciting, especially if you camp out near the finish line. You watch the drivers do their thing. I'll be interested to see how it all turns out and how Jeg does, what he can win after being on the sidelines for a little while during the offseason. Thanks to Jeg and the folks at Jeg's for Jeg coming on the show. We got a lot more to come. For instance, coming up next, Jimmy DeFrank is going to be on. Jimmy won a double out there at the SummitRacing.com Nationals and then backs it up with a regional win in Superstock, becomes one of just a very limited number of drivers to double twice. Think about that, to double twice in their career. We're going to speak with Jimmy DeFrank on this show just moments from now. Then later on in the program, Frank Hawley from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. He is a Hall of Famer, and I just like to get behind the scenes with Frank and find out what's going on, of course, with the Drag Racing School, but also just did a great piece with the folks at Competition Plus, the Legends series, talking with Frank about his career. I'm going to speak with Frank Hawley on this show. So if you're new to the program, keep on trucking, keep on listening, because we've got great stuff. And in fact, we have our Ignition show as well. Hopefully you will join us for that. It is mostly NASCAR, IndyCar, and Formula One, and what we perceive to be comedy, our opinion, of course. We throw some drag racing in there as well, and we open the phone lines very often, so people, and we meerkat the thing sometimes. We've been doing that the past couple of weeks. You know, that whole meerkat thing, maybe at the tail end of the show, I will put it out there, my thoughts, like where I am coming down on it, which basically I think you know. Tough to police. Tough to police. Like, if you can't police it, what are you going to do? Well, at the very end of the show, right after Frank Hawley, I'll throw out a couple of points about that. But first, since we're talking about Frank Hawley, let's talk about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and the Dragster Adventure. Get out the envelope. That's right, the envelope that says Dragster Adventure, that we are collectively saving up for the day that we can all go on the Dragster Adventure, whether it's $5, $10, $20 bill, whatever it happens to be. The experience that you will have driving one of these race cars is something that will stick with you for a lifetime. And you don't have to listen to me, of course. Look at what Jeg Coughlin is doing. This guy is a five-time pro stock world champion, and the idea of driving a dragster and testing himself against competitors has got him going to Vegas this weekend. It's just a thrilling experience. And you can have it now, even if you're not a racer. Prior to this class or this course or this adventure, you had to know somebody who was willing to put you in their very expensive dragster. Now you can accelerate from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. You can reach speeds of 130 miles per hour, even side-by-side drag racing, all at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. They travel around the country from track to track. This week, they're going to be in Fontana, California, and in a couple of weeks, they're going to be in Houston, Texas, following up the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. The best thing to do, go to frankhawley.com and click on the Dragster Adventure schedule. You will see they're going around the country. It is something that you will love. Every week, I try to think of new and creative and exciting ways to make you understand that this is so worth it, that you will come out of the experience saying to yourself, wow, I'm so happy I did that. Courses start at $399. That's why we are slowly stuffing an envelope so that at some point you or your group of guys or your sales team or your great clients or your business executives can go out and do something special together. And if you call 866-480-7223, that's 866-480-7223, tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. They'll even let you break it up into four easy payments. That's the Dragster Adventure. Find out more at frankhawley.com. And later on in this show, we're going to speak with Frank about the Mellow Yellow series, about being in the Hall of Fame, about his early career, and of course, the Dragster Adventure. We'll be back after this with Jimmy DeFrank, four-time Superstock World Champion, doubled up twice. Jimmy DeFrank, first appearance on WFO Radio after this.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know, I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts, legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate, racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO Radio Blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the Exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro on WFO Radio. All you first-time listeners, welcome. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. We heard from Jeg Coughlin. He's getting ready to go bracket racing. We heard from Robert Height. He's headed down to Baytown, where I will be at the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals at Royal Purple Raceway. But we got a lot more to go. In fact, this past weekend out in Vegas, it has been such a great couple of weeks for the racing fans in Vegas. You had the SummitRacing.com NHRA Nationals. Then you had the Lucas Oil Series regional event. This weekend, you got the K&N Spring Fling. If you love racing in Vegas, man, you have got a lot going on. Well, sometimes when you go to Vegas, you get hot. You heard about those Vegas hot streaks. Well, one racer got absolutely en fuego out there starting at the SummitRacing.com Nationals. He doubled up in stock and super stock, then came back and won the regional event. He joins us now. Talk about winning his way on the show. Four-time super stock world champion Jimmy DeFrank with us. Jimmy, welcome to WFO. First time. How are you?
Good, Joe. Thank you so much. It's just winding down after those Vegas runs there, and I'm still very excited and
Happy to be on the show today.
I am excited to speak with you. Obviously, you've had a long, successful career winning 4 Superstock World Championships. But right now, doing what you have done over the past couple of weeks, winning round after round and class after class, would you say, has this been the best run of your career?
You know, absolutely one of the top two that I ever remember in racing for our team. To win 3 trophies in 2 weekends, running 2 categories, so we had 4 chances, was awesome. Our first world championship year in 97, we won back-to-back events at the end of the year to clinch that championship, and that was big, but to win 3 out of 4, it probably edges that slightly. So it was the things we dream about when we start racing. So it was wonderful.
The Vegas hot streak. We've heard about it our whole lives, but I don't know too many people who have actually done it. You got hot in Vegas.
We did, Joe. It was great. Again, more than we can imagine. I almost can't believe it yet. It's like it didn't set in to be able to double at a national event in 2 different categories and then to come back the week after. I always think it's hard to win a race the very next race or the very next weekend after you win. It just gets that much harder preparing, whether it's people making better runs against you or just staying focused for an additional week. So this meant a lot to me and to us to be able to follow it up with a win, and that said a lot about the team and staying focused that extra weekend, which was big for us.
I like that in terms of I'm always trying to educate the people out there who are maybe fans of John Force, who find our show, who haven't had the greatest experience with the Lucas Oil Series classes, and then they start to realize, wow, these people are really intense competitors. They're out there every weekend. They're investing a lot of time and resources into this, and there is a lot to learn. Once you win, there's this natural release, so to speak, like, hey, I won. To keep on it for additional races, additional weeks, is difficult to do.
It really is. It takes so much out of you. There's so much focus, and you put so much heart into it for that one weekend to get a win, and you almost have to really, you have to try even harder that second weekend to pull it together again and stay focused on every single run, not just look at the whole race, but taking the one run at a time and getting your dialing right, being prepared for the starting line. And like you said, so much goes into it. And the racing every year becomes more competitive. And we're talking about thousandths of a second. One of the classes we won, Stock Eliminator, at the Las Vegas National Event Final was 1/1000th of a second margin of victory. And it just lets you know how close the racing is. I mean, you know, you can't even see that margin. So
Take me through that run. Were you getting there? Were you giving it up? What was the process? We just spent a little time on the show speaking with Jeg Coughlin, who is going out to run the Spring Fling races, and he was trying to give us some insight into the mental process from launch to finish of a bracket racer or any kind of racing that requires finish line racing. When you say 1/1000th of a second, I think our listeners maybe can't get it, considering a blink of an eye is much greater than that.
You're right, Joe. When you look at it, 1/1000th of a second, you can't even tell visually looking. When you're in your car and you're looking over to the next lane at the other car, that's something that you can't tell. When it was that close and I was going down the track and just looking back and forth at the competitor's car and the finish line, I couldn't tell. So I made the decision to run it out to the finish line, not to tap the brakes, because we felt like our dial was good enough and close enough where I could run it out and run on the number and not go under. And in that particular race, that's what we did, and got to the finish line first by just 1/1000th of a second. We dialed the same on that particular run. I had left just slightly ahead, had a little bit of advantage on the starting line, and got it done, you know, at the finish line there. That's how close that particular race was. So just amazing. Just, you know, you immediately look to the wall to see a wind light on the wall for the drivers, and listen on the radio for our crew and my dad to say, hey, you won or didn't. And in this case, you know, he was screaming and yelling with the wind. So it was great.
You've been doing this now 20 years. Let's talk a little bit about how you got started. Whenever I have someone on WFO radio for the first time, and believe me, Jimmy, there are so many great personalities like yourself who I have yet to speak with just because of time constraints and contact constraints and the way it is, which is a great thing. We're kind of going through the catalog, and when someone like yourself has a great performance, we reach out to them. But how did this all happen for you? How did you get started? What was the initial spark that got you involved in drag racing of any kind, and then for it to balloon into what it has become, four Superstock World Champions? One of very few drivers to double up twice. That is incredible. What was the beginning for you?
Well, the beginning was being involved in racing really since I was born, or my first memory is around 5 or 6 years old. My dad was always involved in NHRA drag racing and had cars throughout the years, particularly Superstock. And as I grew up, you know, I was always around it. I just enjoyed being around everybody, the fellow racers and the friends that you make that become family over the years when you know them for 30-plus years or, you know, close to your entire life. And when I entered my teenage years and driving age, in particular around 16, I just started to take an interest in, gosh, maybe I could drive one of these, and kind of asked my dad about it. And starting then, you know, I had to make good grades in school and stay on the honor roll, and then had the chance to drive a race car. And then, it, you know, the same throughout college. And then as I entered the family business, California Car Cover, it was a focus on work, which comes first, and doing that, and then, you know, business first, and then we had the time for racing and just transitioned through there in the early 20s and until now. So just a love for it, just loved being around it, had the opportunity to drive, and then kind of got bit by that bug that just loved it. You know, whether win or lose, you just want to keep going every weekend and try to win. And when you win, it's such a great and amazing feeling and so hard to accomplish that you want to keep trying to do it again. So that's where we're at now, 20 years later.
The California Car Cover story, I think, is very interesting. We've been talking a lot about on our show recently, entrepreneurship and helping our listeners, you know, get involved, and shows like Shark Tank and The Profit. You guys have a great American dream entrepreneurship story with California Car Cover. I have some of the details. A commercial was the beginning. Can you tell us some of that story?
You bet. You know, I'm going to back up just for a second to where my dad and mom grew up in a very, very small town in Pennsylvania, and when were brought to California, simply they wanted to be around cars. The heart of hot rodding and drag racing, you know, NHRA was out here. They moved out, and their passion, my dad's passion for cars, started from that throughout the years, and then became California Car Cover, and then the California Car Duster dusting mop in the 1980s, and started with a commercial on TV, and then grew to where you see the California Car Dusters all over the world, and very large stores, auto parts stores. And you spoke of Jag Coughlin. They're in the Jag's catalog. We sell them in our catalog, and those sell millions of car dusters every year. And it's just a great product. You see them at the racetrack every week because it's dusty, and at least it's a quick cleanup for us racers. You know, we don't have time to wax the cars at the track, but we can at least look good going down the track with a quick cleanup. And that's where it started from 1989 and until now. And it's been a great ride. And we love the business because it's car related, and we're around cars all the time, whether car shows or car enthusiast or whatever it is. So it just ties into racing very well for us.
It's a great group of people, and I think that the more people get involved, whether they be watching on television or going out to their local track, there is something about the drag racing community, the people who are always trying to get better, not satisfied with what they have. They want it to be cleaner, prettier, nicer, more extreme, faster. It is something in the DNA of the drag racer.
You know, Joe, it is. And we've had a long-standing joke that, you know, we want to do all those little things to win, and one of ours is a clean car is a happy car. So whether you're just dusting it or cleaning it, it's just one step closer to trying to win. And you're right. You know, you want to do everything, and once you get that feeling of winning, you just keep step and step and one step up and trying to get better each race. And that's a great point, because it gets just a little bit tougher each year because it's more competitive, like you said, with each racer and family trying to do that. So we try to do the same.
Now, we mentioned Peter Biondo and Jeg Coughlin, obviously, big spring fling race going on in Vegas. That's what Jeggy was talking about. Kyle Seipel as well. They have kind of delved into Peter and Kyle into the promotion side of things, big bracket racing. Is that something that you partake in, will partake in? Do you go do the bracket racing thing at all in addition to running super stock for world championships?
Yeah. You know, I probably won't race this weekend, but I will go up because Peter and Jay and Kyle are such good friends, and I want to go up and support them, whether it's anything they ask me to do to help at that event or to check tires or do anything, whatever needs to be done, but just to hang out with them and support their race. And so I will be there, and it's a wonderful race. It's laid back, but the competition's amazing. I mean, all the races are within a few thousandths. It's an eighth-mile race and very competitive bracket race. So I'm looking forward to watching that and being a part of that in some way this week.
Very cool. And obviously the Lucas Oil Championship is something that I'm sure you are focused on. A really hot start to the season. How does that affect the way you're going to go about the remainder of the season as we learn more about the strategy that goes into winning these championships, where you can drop races and show up at different races in different divisions? I have learned that there isn't one way to do it, that different racers have different strategies. Some schedule their whole season, and that's the schedule, and they go to those races, and they hit them, and that's that. Others see how it goes and see where they need to go or where maybe will be the best races to attend to give them the best opportunity to win. What is your plan for the remainder of the season?
Joe, mine's more like the second that you mentioned, and just seeing how the season starts out and then making a plan from there. We did not plan the whole season ahead because things do change. And again, priority for us is business and California Car Cover, and we need to be there for all the important functions and days and car shows for that. And then we make our racing schedule around that. For me, even though it was a good start here in Vegas, we'll probably still take it maybe a race or two at a time, maybe three or four at the most, and look at it from there and keep going and going, because there's other racers with good starts, and it'll be hard for us to continue, but we're going to try to and try to do good at the next races. But we take it a little shorter period at a time now, and I'll also find that to be a little less stressful than looking ahead too far, because it takes so much focus and energy and all your heart just for one race at a time to get through and try to do good. So we'll take it one small step at a time, so to speak.
As someone who has had great success behind the wheel of a Sportsman Series car, both in stock and super stock, and really lived the dream of what it is all about, what would you say to my listeners as I try to motivate them to go out to their local track, get in whatever it is that they happen to have, station wagon with wood panels on the side is always the joke, but whatever is available to them to change from just a spectator to someone who actually goes out and participates and makes some runs down the racetrack? What would you say to them?
Joe, it's absolutely the most fun, and I have to say that we've made some of our very, very best family memories at a racetrack. Whether it's a day that you've won a race or just being there and that camaraderie with your very own family, your friends, and you're always going to meet some wonderful people and friends that share the same passion for the racing and for hot rods. It's absolutely worth it. It's so much fun, and it's such a great outlet from everyday life of business or being in an office or something. It's worth it. Win, lose, or draw, there's always a good time at the racetrack. And I'd recommend it to anybody. It's a great family sport as well. So,
when is your next scheduled race? Do you know it?
Yes, it's the JAG Sports Nationals, the Pacific one, the West Coast one, which is in Fontana, California, the last weekend in May.
Very good. Jimmy, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio and sharing this incredible couple of weeks that you have had with us. Drivers who have doubled more than once, Pat Austin twice, Edmund Richardson five times, Jeff Taylor twice, David Rampe four times, Peter Biondo twice, Tommy Phillips twice, Jody Lang twice, and now Jimmy DeFrank twice. That is a pretty good list to be a part of.
It's awesome, Joe. It's something that you would dream of when you start racing, and it's something that I can't get over and believe now, even with you reading that list. So it's a great feeling. I hope it sets in someday that that we're up there with those the group of racers.
Now, of course, once you do something a second time, you got to go out there and try to do it a third time and kind of become even more of a VIP.
Joe, it could, and that's, again, something we would dream of, and that's how racers think. Once you get two, then you start thinking about the third. So it's a funny point you mentioned.
It is out there, and I know people are thinking about it. Jimmy, thanks for coming on WFO Radio first time, but hopefully not the last time. Great story. We certainly appreciate it, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Joe. It's wonderful, and I hope to be here again someday.
Jimmy DeFrank with us here on WFO Radio. How about it? Going on a hot streak in Vegas, and he wasn't even in the casino. I think that is such a great story, and I'm very happy he came on the show. And I have a feeling there's going to be more in the future. Thanks to Jimmy for coming on the show. Thanks to Kelly Topolinski for helping me set it up. Way to go, Kelly. Greatly appreciate it. And just a cool deal. The American Dream, California car cover. And now part of a very exclusive club. Now I believe there are 8 people who have doubled up more than once on the NHRA Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. Great names. And Jimmy DeFrank is one of them. And we have still got more to come. Frank Hawley going to be on the show next. We're going to talk with Frank about that great Legends piece the folks at Competition Plus did. And it's very emotional. Talking about the Big Bud Shootout, talking about working with the Gwynn family, and a lot of great old-school highlights. Great job by Bobby Bennett. And Bobby was on last week talking about the whole John Medlin, Eric Medlin life-after-death story. I got a fair amount of feedback, not as much as I would have thought. I figured I would have gotten more, but still very cool. Then after Frank, going to talk about a little Meerkat, a little Periscope, as we delve into this brand-new social media. I've kind of been touching on the story over the past couple of weeks on our Ignition program, which is our other show. We do 2 shows a week here. If you're one of the iHeart Radio Race Day Nation listeners, you made it this far and you're thinking, wow, this is great. WFO Radio, what is it? We do 2 shows a week at this point. At some point, we will expand. The NHRA Nitro show focuses heavily on the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. Occasionally, something like bracket racing makes it in there. And our Ignition show, it's more like a morning show. It's more like a personality show where, of course, racing is on the table, but we talk about everything. We invite you to check out that program. In the past couple of weeks, we've been using the streaming technology to let people into the studio live as it happens in real time for portions of the show. And it's been kind of cool selling WFO Radio t-shirts like gangbusters to the people on the Meerkat, because they can just hold it up to them. Hey, what do you think of this? And next thing you know, they love it. So if you're looking for some cool gear, maybe check out some WFO Radio gear. Represent while you're out there at the racetrack. And let some people know about the show. You can subscribe on iTunes. We have great personalities like this show, where we have literally 13 national championships represented on the program. Big thanks to Jimmy for coming on the show. When we return, Frank Hawley, driver of the legendary Chi-Town Hustler, drove for Austin Coyle, has put together the Dragster Adventure, and we're going to hear from Frank, his thoughts on a whole host of issues coming up next, right here on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open, it's WFO.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better, or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and we are getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals headed to Houston the end of the week. And if you are going to be down there, by all means, hit me up on social media, tweet, get connected, because we are going to have a great time out there in Baytown. Now, I've been promising all show, and here he is from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Hall of Famer Frank Hawley. Frank, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you, sir?
I am very, very well, and certainly looking forward to a Mellow Yellow Series event this weekend. But I also know that you guys are headed out west, out to California with the Dragster Adventure. We've been talking about this program a lot. I want to get into that with you, but first, I just really studied the Competition Plus Legends series about you. I thought that was some great work by Bobby Bennett and his team over there.
He did a wonderful job. Of course, you know, Bobby's passionate about the sport. He knows the sport. He's a racer himself. And he makes it really easy when you sit down and talk with somebody that's that knowledgeable about drag racing. He's a great guy. We've been friends for many years. And I was honored that he wanted to include me in the Legends piece. We got a lot of folks that watched that, and I think it turned out very well.
Oh, it absolutely did. And, folks, if you haven't seen it, competitionplus.com, but you can really see it on frankhawley.com. We've posted it on our social media, and it is just a very, very strong piece. If you are not familiar with Frank and how he came up prior to winning world championships, I thought the talk about Austin Coyle was awesome. I thought that your talk about hanging out with Steve Evans as you were about to win the championship was awesome. And as someone who was a child when all this was going on, and watching on TV, you know, when would American Sports Cavalcade come on? Maybe it would be on. Who knew? It was great insight to how you were feeling at the time.
Yeah, you know, I share those memories with folks in our class and friends of mine. And at the races, I'm always... you know, bumping into people I haven't seen for many years, and those stories come up. We laugh, sometimes we cry, but those they're very fresh in our minds. Anybody that lived through those years, it seems you know, we talk about 20, 30, 40 years now, and it seems literally, it's kind of cliche to say it, but it seems like it happened last year to most of us. It was a great time, a lot of struggles, but, you know, I don't think any really, really good times come without a little adversity along the way.
There were a few things that you mentioned in the piece that I do want to bring up, because you are a teacher to so many people, both in the cockpit and outside, and I want to focus in on that. But first, let's talk a little dragster adventure, then I'll get your opinion on what's going on in the Mellow Yellow series right now. You guys are headed out west, out to California, out to Fontana. That is car culture, ground zero. How do they receive this program? I know a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, you had one of the journalists, not get on the brakes maybe as quickly as they should have. And who knew that was going to get so much publicity? How is the Dragster Adventure program going? How is it being received? And how is it evolving since you first started it?
Well, all of our programs are doing well. I think the buzz in the industry right now is people are starting to get back to maybe spend a little money and time on some recreational things. Most of the manufacturers I talk to say things are picking up nicely and crowds are increasing a little bit. So we kind of a rising tide raises all boats, and we're certainly a part of that. We ran all last week out in Fontana at the drag strip there with our Super Comp program and our Dragster Adventure. We're going to be there all this week as well, doing the same thing. And both programs are doing really good. We have been running our Super Comp, Super Gas NHRA licensing program for, decades, and have had a lot of really successful people come through lately. A young man named Jordan Pratt came through last year and just won the Division 5 Rookie of the Year trophy. So we were pretty pleased with him. Another young lady, Haley James, came from out west, Phoenix, all the way back to her class in Gainesville this spring, and had never raced before. And she went to her first NMRA race and got runner-up. And then just last week in Fontana, Jim Dunn's granddaughter, Jonna Dunn, came through the Super Comp program, and she got her NHRA competition license, so we might see another Dunn out there racing pretty soon. So on the competition side, there's just tons of success stories. We meet a lot of great folks and a lot of people, getting into racing for the first time. Now, on our adventure side, what's really growing there is it's good for individuals. They can come out, they can do some side-by-side dragster racing for an affordable price, but what's really been picking up, of course, is what you and I talked about before, Joe, and that's the companies or the groups, the corporations, where they want to do something fun and exciting, and they want to do something in motorsports. And we've got several larger companies now that are starting to do some work with us like that, and it's really fun. We get to meet a lot of people, and a lot of people get introduced to drag racing through their companies, doing group events that might not normally have gone to a drag race, and that's always good for all of us, because I don't know how you go to a drag race, watch one, or maybe even drive a dragster down the track and not kind of become a fan. So we're recruiters to some degree, so we're really excited about the growth in that program.
Oh, I love it, and we talk about it each week when we promote the class. You got a good group of clients or something, or your sales guys, and you want to motivate them. There's, we know, a bunch of different things you could do, but what is going to stick in the memory more than going out and racing each other in dragsters? I think that one would be the one that would stick in my memory. But then again, I'm clearly already hooked by the sport.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We had some pretty close racing at our adventure race in Fontana last week. We've got a big group of people that are coming out this week to do the same thing. And we've got one corporate group that is coming out. Actually, we'll be running those folks tomorrow in Myers, they do a lot of work with the armed forces, and we have a group of Navy SEALs coming out to get in our dragsters tomorrow in California. It's a closed event. People can't come unless they're participating. But that's just going to be so cool because I'm such a fan of our armed forces and the men and women that serve. And so to be able to stand there tomorrow, you know, get a picture of myself surrounded by a bunch of these, you know, heroes that we have in our country, it's going to be a great opportunity. And they're going to get to have some fun and drive some dragsters.
Oh, that sounds super cool, and the possibilities are endless. I could see that thing evolving into some sort of TV program where the cars are sporting the livery of each service that the driver is representing. Just so many possibilities with these cars and the fun out there. Frank, we're always telling our audience, we got a program that we started, you know, Get Out the Envelope, which is basically... you know, everybody has got the little extra savings jar that they put, whether it be for the rainy day fund or whatever it might be, a nice steak dinner. And we've got, hopefully, a bunch of listeners with an envelope that says Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure on it. And every week when the show comes on, we encourage them to throw something in it. And eventually, they'll reach their goal and be able to go on this Dragster Adventure.
I love it. What a concept.
Saving, right?
Save up and have some fun, enjoy yourself. But, well, you know, people... You know, we've done that our whole lives. We've saved up for a trip to, you know, Yellowstone Park when we were kids, or you know, a baseball game, or maybe a car race. And the one thing I look back, and I bought a lot of stuff in my life, you know, cars or clothes or things. But I'll tell you, the things that I remember most are the activities that I took part in. Whether it was, you know, a fishing trip or races that I was a part of, or just times when our family and friends got together at the beach or whatever. And it was the activities that I have fond memories of far more than the items or the things that I might have touched at one time in my life.
Are you, and I don't know the answer to this question, are you always or most of the time at the Dragster Adventure when it goes down? Is are you there coaching the people who are participating as kind of part of the deal? Does that always happen or just most of the time?
Well, I have been at every Dragster Adventure program, welcoming the people in, shaking their hands, and giving them instructions since the first time we've run a program. So, yeah, and you know, last week Jeff Arend was out there helping me. Jeff's going to be helping me again this week, you know. Jack Beckman stops by once in a while. Tom Bear. Last year we had Robert Hyde at one of the adventures. So quite often there's kind of a guest instructor there or another person that the drag race fan would know their name and know their face. But I always make it a point of being there.
Well, I think that's great. My point that I was building to is that this is almost like, you know, those baseball fantasy camps. If you watch Seinfeld, Kramer went to one and got into a fight with Joe Pepitone. But the point is that if you're a drag racing fan, the idea that you can go out and get in a car and race the car and go down the track and it's not a ride-along, you're driving, and oh, by the way, you're interacting and learning from Hall of Famer Frank Hawley. I mean, I don't expect you to make a big deal of it because it's you, but that is a big deal if you're a real hardcore fan of the sport.
Yeah, and we get a, you know, we've had a mixture. We've had people that, you know, have come up and shook my hand and said, wow, I watched you win the Big Bud Shootout and beat Prudhomme in 1982 at Indy. And we've had other people that have said, wow, you seem to know a lot about this sport. Did you ever race? So, we certainly get a wide range of folks, but we welcome anybody. If you've never seen, in fact, at the class this week or last week in California, F. Fontana, I was telling a John Force story, and it was to try and make a point because, you know, John and I have been friends for years, and he's certainly one of the greatest racers, you know, in motorsports. And at the end of the story, I overheard somebody down at the end of the classroom say to a friend of his, "So who's John Force?" And I thought, wow, now I think that's wonderful that we've got a person coming out driving a dragster that was so unfamiliar with our sport that they wouldn't know who John Force is, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for new folks to enjoy and become longtime fans and listeners of shows like yours and reader of magazines and so on.
Lots of room to grow. That means that we have still plenty of room to grow and work to do with our PR and marketing campaigns. Do you ever get someone come up and say, hey, I was rooting for Don the Snake in the 1982 Big Bud shootout, and, you know, you blew it for me, man. What were you doing?
No, actually never had anybody. Most people are more polite than that, Joe.
You know, I think about the baseball fans when they encounter a Kirk Gibson or something, and they're like, hey, man, you put a dagger in my heart. But certainly I'm sure.
Well, I actually think back at that time, and it wasn't due to me or my efforts, but we clearly were just kind of the underdog team. And I think typically whether we're swinging baseball bats or golf clubs, or whatever, I think that typically people really like the underdog and the up and comer, and back then that's what we were. So it represented kind of a lot of the regular folks out there, the team, the Chi-Town Hustler team that I drove for. So yeah, I think we did have quite a few fans.
I think it was, and it's funny watching the piece that Bobby Bennett and Competition Plus put together. Folks, you got to go check it out. Not realizing myself that I had witnessed so much of this, going to the Gator Nationals all these years and watching your first race showing up at the Gators and then thinking, wow, you know, beating Tim Gross. I remember, like, living that, and that was your first big win, national event win, and where it went to the championship after all that. You know, having seen it with my own eyes, it didn't really click. Like, wow, I was there for that. And watching the piece, it kind of all brought it together. There is a part of the piece, though, that I really want to dig down on for a moment, because I think it's helpful. I always try to talk with successful people and pull something out of it that will help our listeners. And you talked about how you were narrow when you were younger, that you were focused on, you know, feeding yourself and racing. And that as time has gone by in your life, that you have become a ravenous reader and that you're out to expand your knowledge. And I feel that way, too. I feel that transition happening with myself and trying to learn and read more as much as possible. Maybe the awareness that, you know, time, it's a finite resource. We only get so much. I don't know. What would you say to the younger folks out there who are not yet where you are or going through the transition like I am, that maybe they don't realize it? Is there something that you say to them to try to advance them along that natural progression so that they realize, hey, knowledge is cool, learning is great, it's something I should want to do as much as possible to awaken that curiosity that you have now?
Well, and you may have, you just used the term natural progression. And I think that maybe there is a natural progression for all of us, and it's kind of hard to be forced. So, you know, when I get a chance to talk with folks that are starting out, you know, in our lectures, our classrooms, the stories I might tell, I want them to be entertaining, I want them to be useful, rather than just funny, which I try and tell stories in kind of an entertaining fashion. I would hope that they pull something out of it and go, wow, but that's useful too. And I'm not a big believer in beating people on the head with stuff to try and make your point, because, you know, they'll resent you, they stop listening. And for the most part, I think I've learned is I can't make anybody else do hardly anything. So I think it's kind of leading by example and showing them that, you know, there are a lot of really cool things out there, and don't limit yourself and explore. And every once in a while, listen to somebody that's three times your age and let them talk for 15 minutes. And sometimes you might just be absolutely amazed at what they say. And, And that's what I feel now, although I've got to admit, I was never that when I was younger. So, you know, you might be onto something that, you know, this is a process that kind of we all go through. And there was an old German proverb that's better said by a German, but because my accent's not good, but it says, "Wie get too soon old and too late smart."
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe that's just how it is.
Well, so grabbing them and shaking them is not going to work.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to work.
Folks, that's a joke. We do not advocate shaking your children. Just a quick note. All right, Frank, the Mellow Yellow series. Your thoughts at the start of the season? It has been very cutthroat. It has been very entertaining. A wide variety of winners. Where do you think we are at right now in the progression of 2015?
Well, and the wide variety of winners, I think, is key, Joe, because the technology has changed so much, and this isn't the first time we've ever had this conversation, and anybody that's, you know, followed the sport for a few decades can see that, wow, here we've got these 10,000 horsepower cars that accelerate over 300 miles per hour, and under, you know, all weather and track conditions, and, you know, going into the race on Sunday, they're all jammed within 8 or 9 hundredths of a second of one another. And you know, the word parity's kind of overused, but they've got, you know, we've got some big teams that have multiple cars on them. All that information's traded back and forth, as it probably should be. And so what happens is you get a whole bunch of people that kind of know the same thing and with pretty much the same stuff, and that's going to lead you to lots of different winners. So the day, in the day, you know, as an example, you know, back during the Prudhomme dynasty, the idea that somebody's going to win 80% of the races will never happen again. And the idea that somebody could win a world championship and win 10% of the races has happened. So, you know, I think for the race fan that's got a favorite driver or team, that's good because, you know, if your driver didn't win this week, you know, hang around until next week because there's a good shot. And of course, you know, I know all the drivers, but, you know, Jack Beckman and I are close personal friends, and to think that he has, you know, Jack's an incredibly good driver. He has the resources of you know, the biggest team in the world and a couple of the top crew chiefs in the world. And look where he's sitting, you know, in the points. And, you know, if we'd talked in January, I could have just as easily believed that Jack was leading the points. So, you know, it is so early in a season anymore to even, I think, get a sense of where you think the season's going to end up simply because it can change so fast.
Well, at some point, we just go and enjoy the sound, speed, and fury of Nitro Funny Cars and Dragsters, of course, Pro Stock, and all the associated categories in the NHRA. It's just a good time to be out there. We're heading to Houston. You're heading to California. I am very happy we were able to connect here on WFO Radio and talk a little bit about the program and what you got going on. We are working hard to, if we can't get them to immediately pick up the phone, our plan is to have them put it out on the horizon as a goal to do. It sounds like it's such a fun program, the Dragster Adventure, and I can
well,
tell.
Well, and we're actually going to be in Houston in just a few weeks following the national event. So if you happen to be over there and you bump into anybody that wants to do some dragster driving, just send them our way, and because we're going to be over there at the Angels facility and enjoying Houston hospitality in the very near future here.
Oh, that is awesome. That is super cool. Yeah, you guys make it easy by traveling around the country as opposed to having, in addition to your base camp in Gainesville. But very cool. Glad you came on the show. Very excited about what you got going, and always love hearing from you and your perspective. You are a wealth of knowledge, and that's why they put you in the Hall of Fame. There is a reason for that. Frank, thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Radio. Thank you very much for supporting the program as well. Our listeners greatly appreciate it, as do I. Have a great time out there in California.
Joe, thanks a lot. Good talking with you.
Thank you, Frank. Frank Hawley with us here on WFO Radio. He's a Hall of Famer, two-time Mellow Yellow Funny Card champion with the Chi-Town Hustler. Back in the day, I remember living those experiences. It was absolutely awesome. Now, what a show this has been. Frank Hawley, Jimmy DeFrank, Jed Coughlin Jr., Robert Height, and Alan Reinhardt. If you're a fan of drag racing, of Mellow Yellow drag racing, of Lucas Oil drag racing, if you like the NHRA or you just bracket race at your local racetrack, I think there was probably something for you in this show. Remember, just like with the sport of drag racing, you, our listeners, are our greatest ambassadors. Meaning, your friend doesn't know that this show exists. Trust me. Doesn't know that he can hear Jimmy DeFrank and Jed Coughlin basically lay out their strategy, why they do what they do. He doesn't know. Make sure you tell him. Tweet, retweet, repeat. That's our motto with social media, and we greatly appreciate it. You know, the NHRA has their baptism by nitro hashtag, which it has been a lot of fun doing that the first times I did it this year in Gainesville and out there in Charlotte. Seeing first-timers up there get the experience, and they all have loved it so far. It has been amazing. NHRA, they built the program, and this is my perception of it, nothing official, of course. You like how I always say that? Because the show, WFO Radio, is designed for us to expose the drivers and the personalities and the storylines, but WFO Radio is unaffiliated. But the fact is that everybody in drag racing knows that the best way to understand it is to go. And then once you go, you get it. Oh, wow, this is cool. It's like a festival atmosphere where there's cars and people everywhere all doing stuff, and you could literally never watch a car go down the racetrack and still have a wonderful experience because there's so much going on. It is a very cool thing. And here at the tail end of the show, what I call my time, I usually like to touch on a subject. In the past couple of weeks, it has been this new social media, Meerkat, Periscope. There's a couple of others out there that aren't quite as well known. I've been spending a lot of time with these over the past couple of weeks because I really believe this is going to totally change a lot of things. Facebook and Twitter, the way they change the world, we're going to see it all again with live streaming. Why would you want to see a tweet, 144 characters of somebody saying that they're someplace, when instead you can follow them and see them at the place, and they could show you around? Is it going to kill those other social media? I don't think so. Is it a supplement? Yes, definitely. If you want to check it out, download Meerkat, M-E-E-R-K-A-T. You can follow WFO Radio or WFO Joe, and I stream from the studio during our highly popular Ignition show, and we're working that into the program, trying to make it fun. In the end of it all, like, we can game out all the scenarios and if it's good and if it's bad and who is invading other people's privacy, but that's true with a camera. You can't stop people with a camera. Cameras are welcome, and people are going to take pictures if they want. And that's what spy cameras are for. It's spies spying on people, taking pictures they're not supposed to. In the end, the basic rights of privacy are what are supposed to be respected. And hopefully, people will do that. Inevitably, some people will not. Should that damage or ruin the experience for everybody else? And the answer is, in my opinion, I don't think so. I don't think so. People could sneak a camera phone somewhere that they're not supposed to see something and take a picture and then put it out there. That could happen with anything. But it's the cost of doing business. The day that 5,000 people are out there streaming their experiences about how much they love drag racing, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, some people would say it's a bad thing. I can make a very competent, strong argument that it's a good thing. But neither of those arguments matter. What matters is you can't stop it. There's nothing you can do. They're holding their device. Their device is pointed at something. Are they taking a picture? Are they streaming it? How do you know? How do you find out? Could you find out? Could you stop them? Excuse me, we're going to have to ask you to put down your camera. Well, wait, I'm at this thing. You got to put down your camera. But I'm taking a video for myself. Well, how do we know that? Maybe you're streaming. Yeah, but maybe I'm not. That interaction just took 5 minutes. 5 minutes of time taken away in a sport that is everyone needs a second to do everything that they have to do. You can't stop it. You can't police it. You can't shut it down. That's why governments have fallen, because of Twitter. Because you can't stop the communication. In my opinion, it's best not to try. Just see what happens, see what develops as people abuse the technology, see how they're abusing the technology, and then formulate a strategy. But until then, it's going to be very interesting to watch how it all plays out, games out, and develops. Every person has the ability to stream in real time to the masses whatever it is they're doing. That is powerful, powerful stuff. And I imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but it's going to be a big thing as more people adopt. 2 years, 5 years, where's it going? I can imagine full programming designed specifically for those people. Once you have 1,000 people watching you on Meerkat, that's enough to generate content, premium content. It's just so exciting. And we're getting into it every week now on our Ignition Show. If you're interested, check it out, the Ignition Show. We'll be talking NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One. We have a lot of fun on the program. You're all invited. Come on over. All you have to do is click the other button. If you download the WFO Radio app, just click it. And one more thing, I should have done this earlier in the show, and it's my bad, and I'll make good on it next week. Jay Blake, followadream.org. Jay, if you are out there, that special on Fox Sports 1 was one of the best things I've ever seen on drag racing, period, end of story. You got to look it up. It was a special. Go to followadream.org. I'm sure they've got it on their social media. But Fox Sports 1, the producers, they did such a great job showing Jay's story. And Jay is a great guy, WFO listener, been out there for a while. We got to have you back, Jay. Talk about that piece, Fox Sports 1. It was absolutely awesome. Folks, that's going to do it. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to our program. We invite you to check out Ignition, and we will see you in Houston this weekend, and we'll be back with the winners, the winner views on WFO Radio Nitro next week. See you then.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Come on, come on.
Oh, yeah.